Isaiah 55 and 10. Hey, if you've joined this church, you're not going through our growth track. This Wednesday, we're going to start our growth track back this Wednesday at 6:30 out in the portable. It'll be our growth track for you to learn about our church. Amen. And then our seasoned seniors, we're going to Chattanooga June the 18th, so please come out for that. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do this morning. You're wondering, probably wondering, why is there a golf bag out here in clubs and am I sitting in this chair? Well, I like watching golf on TV a little bit, but I've heard people talk about golf and how pretty it is out there, and you ride in golf carts, and everybody looks so important on a golf course. So I went inside. I played when I lived in Chattanooga for a while, and I like to get out there, and I got a set of clubs, but a couple of months ago, me and Brother Daryl Morton and cousin Charles, we went, and it was not fun. It looks a lot easier than what it was, and this man beat the brakes off me. It was so bad that I quit a couple holes. But how many know you can learn something through failure? Come on, talk back to me here. And God taught me how to use the word from golf. He showed me, and I talked about it Wednesday when I preached, most of us in school, you just study for the test, and so you pass the class just by studying for the test. But if you like me, I went to school for a lot of years, but I don't remember half that stuff I learned. And I got plenty of student loans to show for it. Talk back to me in here. God said, Jason, I'm a little different. You can fail the test and pass the class. How? Because you learned the lesson. And if you learn the lesson, you'll never have to repeat that season in life. That's good news for somebody here. Anybody be honest, say, you done failed a lot of tests in life. Got the T-shirt, the bumper sticker to tell about it. But you learn the lesson from it. I learned that scars speak, wounds speak, and they tell a lot of lessons. So I learned a lesson through that beating I got on the golf course. Isaiah 55 and 10, the easy read version. You ain't got to act like you got it in your Bible and just stop. You ever be in church and they ask you to go to Isaiah and you can't find it? So you stop in Hebrews and act like you're reading with them. Yes, sir, Pastor. Man, you ain't nowhere close. It's on the screen. It's on the screen. You ain't got to fake it this morning. Isaiah 55 and 10, they even got an easy read version. Take out the thus and thous. It says this, rain and snow fall from the sky and don't return until they have watered the ground. It said, then the ground causes the plants to sprout and grow. They produce seeds for the farmer and food for the people to eat. In the same way, my words leave from my mouth. They don't come back without results. My words make things happen that I want to have happen. They succeed in doing what I send them to do. That last part looks like a game of golf to me. Whenever God sends his word forth, it's like a good golfer. He has a great club in his hand, and he sends whatever he wants to have happen to the goal, and it happens every time that God wants it to happen. So you're taking notes. Let me give you some golf terms and how they relate to us just in this simple lesson. The ball is you and your situation. The ball is you and your situation. Your swing is your faith. Your swing is your faith. The club is the word of God. There are various clubs. There's a club for every scenario you face in golf. There's a word for every situation you face. You just got to learn how to use the word. And you learn how to use your clubs. The hole is your goal in life. Where do you want to be? And then the course is life itself. The course is life. So, Brother Darrell's getting ready to come on stage, and he's going to walk you through. After he got through beating my brakes, he just said, let me just go and show you how to do this. So, Brother Darrell's going to come out, and we're going to walk you through the golf lesson, the beating he gave me. And let's walk through. Darrell, how did you start me out? You can go to my first slide here. Darrell, how did you start me out when we walked up, when I approach a hole? What should I do? Talk to me. Tell me what I should do.
You should start to clear your mind and know that your preparation is going to get you to where you need to go.
All right.
Stepping onto the tee box, you need to see what the yardage is. Mm-hmm. The yardage is either on the ground or on some. It's going to be a marker out there to let you know how far the hole is.
All right. So the first thing I had to do, he told me when you walk up, he said you got to find the tee box. You start at the tee box. He said you got to find the hole. The hole is the goal where you're trying to be. And then he said somewhere around there, there's the yardage. What that means to us is you got to find where you are first. You can never get where you're going until you locate where you are. Your GPS won't even get you nowhere until it tells you where you are. Where are you? Are you angry? No, I'm all right. No, you just got blood. So it means you just Things pop. No, where are you right now? Am I bitter? Am I upset? Do I not know what I'm doing? I got to figure out where I am. Then I got to determine, where am I going? And once I figure out where I'm going, I got to figure out what's the distance between me and where I am.
Yes.
Everything you do is measurable. And also they say about God, he may not come when you want him, but he comes on time. That's because God has timing. You got to have timing in your life. If you do anything, what is the time for me to get to where I am, to where I need to be? All right? So I have to locate the hole, start from the tee box, I know the yardage. What's the next thing I got to do?
You got to select your club.
All right. He said you got to pick your club. How do you pick your club? Based off what?
Each club is designed to go a certain yardage. Mm-hmm. Some people can hit it further than some people. But the club is going to do what it's supposed to do.
So. All right. So I got to go to the Word of God and find the word that fits my situation.
Yes.
Somebody say the word works.
The word works.
If you work it.
So,
I'm sick. Isaiah 53:5 said he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. I don't have enough money. Philippians 4:19, I got to go in my bag and said, my God shall supply all of my need. Now, watch this. A club ain't no good unless you learn how to use it.
Well,
I know the club is there, but I got to figure out how to use the club. All right, so I got to know the yardage. I pick the club. All right, now what I do once I pick the club?
You got to get up there and align yourself with the target.
All right. You call it focus on what? Focus on the line?
Focus on the line.
And what's the line?
The line is the distance between you and the target. So it's also where you want to hit the ball. So if the, just say we're playing a par three, the flag is 170 yards. You see the flag out there. So what you want to do is line yourself up with that target, put it on your front shoulder, and
get ready to go.
Get ready to go.
Here's how it works. All right, I see the hole. Now I got to get myself, I got to put myself in the best position to be successful. A lot of us want to be successful, but we put ourselves in the worst position to be successful. I got a goal. Say, I want to lose 30 pounds by the end of the summer. Man, y'all know Krispy Kreme gave out free donuts Friday? They did. I took my one and bought 11 more. I had 6 chocolate ice and 6 regular glaze and a gallon of tea from Popeyes. My Friday night was good. But that didn't put me in the best position. So the club works. The club works. But if my goal is this way and I'm over here, it don't matter how good this club is.
Yeah.
It'll never get me to where I want to be. So I got to get myself in the line of path to the goal of where I want it to be. All right? Now what I got to do after I get myself in the line of, get ready, I guess I got to get ready to hit the ball. Go for it there.
All right. So you want to work on your grip then.
All right.
One thing you can do to also align yourself is you can get the club. A lot of amateur golfers just trying to look it with their eyes. But what you'll do is get your club and lay it on your lap, point the head at your target, and then you come down and you get an intermediate target.
All right. Can I stop right there? Mm-hmm. I think God allows us to be a little arrogant. Can you point that club toward your hole again? Turn your body the right way again. I think God will let you wake up and say, all right, I'm going to tell you today, this is what's going to happen. And you tell the goat, I'll be there shortly. And you point the word in the direction that you want to go and say, I know I'm here right now, but you just wait for me. I'm going to be right there. My body's in alignment. I done found the word, and I'll be there shortly. Somebody, I don't know if success has a phone number or address, but if y'all find it, tell me. I'm going to send it a letter and say, I'm going to be there before long.
Yes.
And tell poverty, I'm not going to be here much longer because I'm on my way to success. Tell sickness, all right, I'm here, but I got a word from you. You're on the way to health in the name of Jesus. But you've got to, once you get yourself in alignment, it's your positive attitude. You got to get your attitude in line and say, this is what's going to happen today. You all right? So you get your club in line. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine.
All right. So you find your line of path. You line your club up with it.
All right. Then you want to set your feet.
All right.
So you want to get your weight on the balls of your feet. Mm-hmm. You don't want to put too much weight on your toes because it'll affect your balance.
How important is this balance when you're hitting the ball?
Balance is everything because if you're off balance, the ball will go anywhere. You don't know where the ball is going.
You know what Satan does? Satan gets so many of us off balance. Because he know he'll send the right co-worker by to get on your nerves and you'll give up your job to cuss them out. He knows, young ladies, I don't care if you're single or married, he knows your proclivities. He knows how to send them to you. He knows, fellas, your weaknesses. And if he can ever get you off balance, that's why the Bible says be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. But if I'm stationary, if I'm planted in the word of God, you can't get me off balance. I don't care what you bring my way. I'm rooted in the word of God, and I'm going to get what God says I'm going to get. But if I'm off balance, if my equilibrium is off, everything in the room is off. Has anybody ever had like an ear infection or something and your equilibrium been off? It ruins your whole day. Like you can't walk anywhere. You're like staggering around. Like some of us are like Beyonce, like you drunk in love. Like you just, what's wrong? I don't even know. What you like about it? No, I got good sense. Like I'm Pentecostal. I got a strong, I speak in tongues, do all that. But I can speak in tongues and give you change for a dollar at the same time. You all right? I know how to shout, knock everybody out of my row. Some of us lose our mind when God touches you. You just punch everybody in your way. You knock chairs, bleachers, wigs, everything. No. I got my balance. Look at your neighbor and say, God has sense. And he gave it to you to use it. All right. I don't even remember where we at. So we get balance. So we got balance. We set our feet. Then talk about the grip.
Okay. All right. So you want to get a grip?
Look at your neighbor and say, get a grip.
Get a grip. If you watch golf, you'll see Adam Scott. He likes to put the club here to square it up. He'll put it on his foot. You can square the club up because you want to have it square when you're coming through the hidden zone.
What happens when I grip the club too tight?
When you grip the club too tight, you can't be fluid in your swing because it tightens up everything. So you can't move freely. Everything is tight. You're tense, and you have to be relaxed.
A lot of us are so scared. Like the word will work if you work it, but you're grabbing it so tight. And you're not relaxed, and the word can't do what it's working because you're so tense. You're so anxious. You're trying to make it work in here. And God said, if you'll just relax, you'll see the word work. And you're like, look at your neighbor and say, relax.
Relax.
God's going to handle this. All right. After you got down, you got your relax. You told me something because I kept hitting the ball, and I was swinging like I'm playing baseball. Man, he said, man, calm down. My back hurting. I'm just... And as soon as I hit it, my head up and the ball going over there, I'm missing the ball. Y'all seen Billy Madison? Dude, I had Billy beat. All right. So what did you tell me when it came to hitting the ball? What did you tell me to do?
First thing you got to do to hit the ball is concentrate and focus on the ball. Keep your head down because a lot of amateur golfers, the first thing they want to do is see the ball going, but they're getting their head up before they hit the ball. And so the ball is spraying everywhere.
You know what I think God is saying? My body's in line with where I'm going, right? I got the right club. Yeah. He said, if your body's in line where you're going, I need you to focus on where you are. Some of us mess up because we're too focused on where we're going, and we miss where we are. You have a dream, but no work ethic. You right here? So God said, watch this. I got this. You got this. I take what he has given me, and I focus right here, and I keep my head down till I finish this. Some of us, God is not promoting. We're getting frustrated and we're moving on. You've not mastered where you are and you're trying to go do something else. That makes sense in here?
Yeah.
So what God says, I want you to master where you are. Then I'll get you to where you're going. So he said, keep your head down. He told me something important. What did you tell me when my head kept coming up? You told me what you would do.
I said, if you want to see a bad shot, look up. But
you want to see a bad shot, look up. Because watch this. My focus is the ball. He told me I can't look up until after I hit the ball. But he told me this. He said, I'll watch the ball. You hit it. You got to invite somebody into your process. You've got to have somebody that you trust enough to help me walk through this. I don't think life is like meant to be lived alone. You got to have somebody that you invite in. Hey, can I invite you into my weight loss journey? Can I invite you in to like, you know, I'm going to set a goal. One of the things he said is like, set an intermediate goal between where you are and where you're going. Hey, man, set yourself a goal this week. You know you cuss like a sailor, and God ain't all the way delivered you yet. Just say, Monday, I ain't going to cuss nobody out. That's your intermediate goal. Y'all look at me strange, but some of y'all know if I pulled your text out. I ain't going to cuss. But watch this. If you can get through Monday, you can get through Tuesday. If you can get through Tuesday, you can get through Wednesday. Somebody say, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. Lord, for my sake, please help me to take one day at a time. One of the things Daryl told me is to let the club do the work. Tell me about each club and its design.
Okay, the clubs are set on different lofts. So we're playing 170-yard par three. So that's going to be an 8-iron for me.
Why did you pick the 8-iron for? And I may pick a three, my right. driver. Why did you pick that club for that?
Because in my practice, I know that I hit this club 165 to 170 yards on average.
So that club is designed, and you know what that club would do for you.
Yes.
And I got to find something that works for me. You ever seen somebody on a golf course and they get mad, throw the club on the ground? Let me tell you a secret. It ain't the club. It's that nut holding the club. Don't get mad at the word if it don't work for you. It ain't the word. You got to learn how to work the clubs. You got to learn how to work what you have. That's called faith. Because each club is designed to go a certain distance. I'm nervous about using my driver. You know why? Because I can't control it. You got to learn how to master how to use the word of God in your life. So he told me the club will do the work for me. And the last thing you told me to do was to concentrate. Don't overthink it. Don't overcorrect. He told me to clear my mind as I take a shot. Let's give Brother Darrell a hand.
Thank you.
We went back out Tuesday, and I'll bring it home with this. So you see how to work the word? You got to figure out the word that worked. And people beating up clubs and getting mad, swinging. It ain't the club. You got to learn how to work the club. We were out there at a golf course, and there was a guy out there with his son. And he was, like, fussing at his son. I was like, great. Classic overachiever father trying to make his son the next Arnold Palmer or Tiger Woods, and his kid probably didn't like golf. But I sit back and I talk to the father. I just ask him what was going on. He told me the tournament was going on. And I told him what I was doing. He said, great. He said, my kid is phenomenal. He's a great golfer. And I said, you're not really trying to push him to be a great golfer? He said, yeah, I'm trying to push him to be the best him. And I found out that he had it in balance. But he gave me some mistakes, that common errors that golfers make, that I want to show you that we make as Christians. And I want to relay it to golf. The first thing he said is the lack of mental toughness. He said, golf is mental. He said, the course will mess with your mind. The course is life, and life will mess with you. Anybody ever dealt with some unexpected stuff? He said, Bobby Jones, one of the great golfers, said, if I hit three perfect shots in a round of golf, 18 holes, he said, I'm good. Most of the shots you hit are not perfect. Most of the things you do, you're not going to do it right the first time. That's why you keep practicing it. Because the more you practice it, if you're doing it right, the better you get. He said, mental toughness is, how do you approach your next shot after you shanked the one before it? Do you approach it like you had a bad Monday? Do you let that ruin your entire week? Or do you say, Monday is gone, I can't do anything about it? Look at your neighbor and say, there's nothing you can do about your past. Only thing you have is today. Think about this. You don't even have tomorrow. All you got is what you have right now. Mental toughness is, I don't care what happened before now, I'm going to approach this as a fresh shot. He said, you got to have mental toughness. And he said, the second thing is this. He said, people try to conquer the course versus learning the principles of golf. You try to conquer the course, meaning that, man, you try to anticipate everything that's going to happen. Tomorrow I'm going to be prepared for this, be prepared for that. Let me tell you something. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. But if you learn, like golf, if you learn the principles of golf, I don't care if you're playing in Augusta, Georgia at the Masters course or you at Blackberry Ridge down the road, golf is golf. Can I tell you something else about this club? This club is not racist, nor is it gender discriminatory. Whoever uses it, if you use it right, it'll work for you. God is not partial to males versus females. He's not partial to one race over the other. He said if you learn how to use it and master the principles, you'll master life. He told me about this book called Little Jordan's 9 Holes of Fear. And I went and read it. Me and Isaiah are going to read it together. It's a picture book. And I bought it on Kindle, and he talked about how little Jordan faced his fears to play on the adult course. And over the course of doing this, there were a couple monsters he faced I want to talk about. One is the pressure monster. Does any golfer ever remember playing on that tee? Were you the first one to tee off? And there's like 12 carts waiting on you to tee off. How many golfers do I have in the room know what I'm talking about? Yeah, talk back to me. Like, I had really never played golf before, and I had on blue jeans and some golf shoes that I went and bought from Martin and Liz the day before, and the cheapest pair of clubs they would sell me. And I'm sitting here like, and then my buddy said, was like, you teeing off first. I looked and saw all them royal cars. I'm not really sure what happened, but all I know is I hit the ball and the man in the last cart ducked. I grabbed my clubs, ran as fast as I could, got my ball, and went out of the way. Can I tell you, pressure is a monster? Pressure will bring a grown man to his knees. And a lot of us, we can't focus on what we're doing because of the pressure. Newlyweds, you get married and a month later when you're having kids, when you're buying your first house. You get pressure, you get out of school or you get your first job, that pressure to go buy that new car. And your car starts to make a little noise and that check engine light comes on. And you say, well, I deserve better than this. And you drive by dealerships, they showing specials. And you feel that pressure because, man, this car don't represent where I am. And you feel that pressure to go buy a new car, and I fell for that pressure. When I could have took $300 and just got my car fixed, and I could have banked a car note for about 12 months, and I took that $300 over 12 months, I could have bought me a $3,600 car, or I had a nice down payment on one. I fell for the pressure. I fell for the pressure, and I bought me a new BMW. That was the year 2000, 1998 BMW 318i. You couldn't tell me nothing. But every month when I started that car, I could hear my daddy say, I told you not to buy that car. The pressure got me, and I wanted to look good, but I was not good. I was paying my cable bill with a credit card. Look at your neighbor and say, that ain't good. I just wanted to stop right there and tell somebody, don't fall for the okey-doke. Once you get inside that car, watch this, that car don't make you. Now, if you got the money to buy one, go buy one. But get your credit, get your life right first before, watch this, I want my life to be as good as it looks. I got this motto, I want my life as pretty to be as Facebook makes it look. Facebook can make people look great, but I want my life to be that pretty. For real, for real. Let your neighbor say, for real. Oh, man, I got lost. The next one was the tree monster. The tree monster was the obstacles you'll face in life. Golf was real easy just on the driving range. There ain't no obstacles. Man, the word of God is so easy in here. Praise and worship. You feeling good, Brother Calvin singing. No weapon formed against you. Tears rolling down your eyes. You feel good. Man, he sung so good, made me forget I couldn't sing. I'm blasting my neighbor's ear out. They probably like, good God, will you just sing to yourself? But anyway, life, it'll make you feel that good. But Monday morning's coming. And there's a coworker that gets on your nerves. You got little kids that always want something. But watch this. When you go to a golf course, you're not there for the trees. You're there to get in the ball in the hole. When you go to work tomorrow, you're not there to fight. When you go home, you're not there to just fuss all day. You're here to make a house. You're there to make a house. You're there to create a family. You're there to create a living for yourself. Don't get distracted by the obstacles. A lot of us right now, you can't play because you're distracted. So you're getting consumed by the obstacles. The next was the water monster. The water monster is where many balls are lost. Anybody ever just chunked the ball in the water on the course? Yeah, I did plenty of them. I'm that type of person, I start out with six balls and leave just barring somebody else's. Once the ball goes in the water, you can't get it out. And a lot of us have lost stuff to pride. You I got this. People say, no, go around it. No, you don't know, I got this. You date somebody, and your mama said, they ain't no good. Your daddy, he in your life, he said, he ain't no good. You go get spiritual advice, and they say, I prayed about it, he ain't no good. The one you with say, I ain't the type of guy you need to be with. But you can save anybody. No, you just don't see in you what I see. And he break your heart, and you be like, they wasn't wrong with it. The water swallows you up, dreams are lost there. The great thing about God, he gives you grace to do it again. Then there's the green monster. Well, watch this. The green is this, where you get on the green, but because your short game is off, you don't know how to close anything. A lot of us are great starters, but we're horrible finishers. And we got a lot of projects that we started guilty, but we don't have many we finish. Your short game is a vital part of your game. Can you close the deal? Can you bring things home? The next thing he said was this. He said, man, keep it fun. He said, golf is great. And I'm like, man, it's hard for me. I can't have fun out here. You know why I couldn't have fun? Because I'm competitive and I like to win. And he's beating the brakes off me. And the Lord gave me a recipe to have fun. Learn what you're doing. You know why some of us don't enjoy life? We ain't got a clue what we're doing. Look at your neighbor and say, get a clue. I lost y'all right there. When you learn what you're doing, learn how to parenting. Parenting is not just beating your kids. You walk in the house, everybody ducking. Like, go low, mama coming. She on that end of the house, we're going to go out. It's like 500 degrees and your kid just sitting out there scared to come in. Like, I'm just joking. Yes, seriously. Learn what you're doing. Hey, you know what I learned in college? Seriously. I learned how to study and they cut out all my 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning nights. Because that was me waiting to the last minute and I ain't even remembered after the test. Once you learn what you're doing, things become fun. Learn how to use the word of God by keeping it fun. Don't freak out when you get ready to take a shot. Oh, my God, this is the biggest job interview of my life. You pray for this. Think about this. You get nervous about an opportunity you prayed for. You need to look yourself in the mirror and chest bump the wall or something. I don't know. Just, I'm going to knock this thing out the park. Yeah. How am I going to be nervous on something I prayed for? Yeah. I want to be in the seat to make major decisions. This is what I've been geared up for. Right. Satan causes us to freak out when you're in the right seat at the right time and you're the right person for that moment. Let your neighbor say, chill out. And the next thing is this. I'm through. He said, you got to be coachable. His son, he said, you know why my son had such a hard time? Me and Daryl were sitting there watching him. He said, my son hit a hole-in-one at 6 years old. Six? I ain't never even got close to that. He said, and I saw how good he was, so I took him to a coach. But he said it was hard for him to be coachable because instead of learning how to get better, he was trying to show the coach how good he was. Some of us, our talent is our worst asset because you're trying to prove to everybody how smart you are, how gifted you are, instead of learning how good you can be. The reality was, he said, he's probably better than the coach. But watch this. The coach doesn't have to be better than him to teach him. He just has to be able to teach him how to use what he has. I'm convinced, most of you in this room, y'all are probably smarter than I am. But I tell you what I think I'm gifted to do. I can help you locate what's inside of you. You ever notice this? I think about this. I think about school teachers who taught me. I probably made in my first job more than my first grade teacher made, and she'd been teaching 20 years. But that didn't take away from what she taught me. Not at all. Because she probably learned a valuable lesson on how to use what she has. Coaching, being coachable, is about being humble enough to let somebody show you what you have and how to use it. It's not good to have, man, you got one good week and like 8 bad weeks. You want every week to be good. Look at your neighbor and say, are you coachable? And the last thing is this, you got to practice. Somebody said practice makes perfect. Wrong. Practice makes permanent. Because if you're practicing the wrong thing, you're going to live the wrong way. You got to figure out how you're doing, and the more you do it, the better it is. Can I challenge you in this room today? Be coachable. Find where you are. Locate your hole. How far is it going to take for me to get there? Find the word to use it. And find out how to use the word. Chill out. Life is too short for you to sit there and be mad every day, just frustrated, just angry at everybody. You just, look at your neighbor and say, is it hard to be your friend? You mean that person is just like, why is it so hard to be your friend? Like, can you have a good day? Like, one day, can you just relax and not just fly out the handle? Like, oh my God, my fork is dirty. Get another one. Ask them to clean it. Don't ruin my meal because you, I mean, seriously, I understand dirty forks. Don't eat off one, but like, for real, chill. We're going to stand to our feet, and I'm going to have you pray over yourself. Stand to your feet all over the building. Hey, bow your head for a moment. It's something I said during this message connected with you. You said, man, I don't know where I am, or I need to figure out the distance between me and where I'm going, or I'm not coachable, and I need the help of God. The first thing is this. I'm gonna pray for you at your seat, but I'm going to just connect with your faith and say, listen, I need God to help me master my faith so I can use what he's given me. I want you to slip your hands up all over this building. I'm going to pray for you. Slip your hands up. Here's what I'm going to pray, and you're going to pray over yourself. And I'm going to pray so you'll know what I'm talking about. The Lord's been convicting me of certain things about how to master life. I get so frustrated with Isaiah sometimes because he doesn't do stuff the first time I tell him, and when he doesn't do it, I'm like, are you serious? And God convinced me, you don't do things the first thing I tell you. And when you do it, you don't do it right. So I'm going to pray a prayer like, God, give me more patience with Isaiah. Help me not to be so selfish and understand where my wife is at. Help me to connect with people. Help me to even be patient with myself the way you are. I want you know the areas that you're struggling in, and I want you to start praying over yourself right now. Come on, open your mouth and begin to pray. Father, help me to develop the wisdom to lead your people. Help me not to be consumed with man's opinion of me. God, I want to be connected and sensitive to man, but I don't want to compromise your vision trying to make everybody happy. God, help me to love my wife and my family the way I should. Help me to have a heart to serve. I know your great promise is for my life. And I pray, oh God, you give me the wisdom to use it. I know my proclivities. I know my weaknesses. And God, give me the grace. I can't do this without you. Help me to stay focused on where I am. I don't want to be so future-driven that I overlook the moment. God, I don't want to be so consumed because I see BFF being a great church. I see the thousands coming, but the thousands coming are no better than the ones that are here. God, I thank you for the revelation you've given me. Many of you are blessed to be millionaires, but the 20 in our pocket will make up the million that we'll get. Help us to appreciate what we have. Help me to seize the moment. I don't have tomorrow. I only have yesterday. I have right now. And God, give me the grace to connect with people around me. Let me not be so judgmental. Let me not be so hard on people. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and bless you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, can you do me a favor? Go hug somebody and tell them the word will work if you work it.